Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Today's scripture reading is from Acts 10, verse 44 to 48. Our first reading today is from Acts. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The Jewish believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptism from these people who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The gospel reading today is from John, John 15, verse 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we be blessed in their hearing.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpasses our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promise, which exceeds all that we can desire. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. One of the things I have come to understand is that God is going to do what God is going to do. And often that means that I need to widen my understanding of who God welcomes into God's kingdom. More and more I have realized that God's kingdom is an expansive and an inclusive one, where no one is excluded. And in today's reading from Acts of the Apostle, we find an example of that. Now, the story that Sal read is part of a much larger story, and I think the easiest way to get to the heart of it and to make sense of it is to kind of recap the whole story from the beginning. You see, last week we explored the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, the genderqueer black man from Africa, and how that story was not just a conversion story of the eunuch, but also of Philip. In the writing of the book of Acts, what follows that story is another conversion story. This time, it's the conversion of Saul. the Jewish Pharisee who was actively persecuting Jesus' followers. Saul's on the road and he has a mystical experience and an encounter with the risen Jesus and repents, changes his name to Paul, and is now a Jesus follower. And today's story is yet another conversion story. This story is the conversion of the Apostle Peter. Now, we all know Peter. He's a follower of Jesus. He's a devout Jew. He's the one who denied Jesus. And he's, because of all of this and all of his experience and his growing up as a Jewish person, he has varied assumptions, as we all do, about how the world works, who does what, who's allowed to do what, who's unable to do things, who's prevented, who's in, who's out. And then Peter has this vision. As I mentioned earlier, it's this vision of this sheet coming down from heaven with lots of animals on this sheet. And one thing that they all had in common is that according to Jewish law, they were unclean and should not be eaten. Peter hears a voice saying that he should kill and eat the animals. No way, he says. I observe the laws. I'm a good Jew. I'm not going to eat anything unclean. I created those animals, said the voice of God. Are you saying I made something unclean? And Peter's vision ends just as he hears a knock on the door from some unexpected visitors. They had turned up at Peter's house because their boss, a Roman centurion named Cornelius, had also been having an unusual time. Cornelius is described in the scriptures as searching for God, drawn by certain things of the faith, but not really sure what it's all about. And then Cornelius sees an angel who tells him to go and find this guy named Peter. He's also known as Simon, where this person can be found. So Cornelius does what the angel says. I mean, if an angel told you to go somewhere, wouldn't you? So these two visitors sent by Cornelius turn up at Peter's house and tell them the story of what's going on and asking Peter to go with them. Peter's intrigued. He takes some of his friends with him, you know, just in case. And they set off to go see Cornelius, who has assembled some of his like-minded friends back at his house for the arrival of Peter. Cornelius has no idea what's going to happen, but is sure something will. Peter has seen a vision and has heard that someone else has seen a vision, so he's curious and wondering, what's going on? But he's also nervous. Because you see, here's the issue. Cornelius is a Gentile, and so are his friends. Now, Gentile, that's a churchy word that we use sometimes. It basically means someone who's not Jewish. And this is why what's about to happen is so big, and it's such a tough time, and it's a tough thing for Peter to figure out. For his whole life, Gentiles were on the outside. They were the outsiders. And Peter had little to no interaction with the Gentiles. And so when Peter arrives at Cornelius' house, he asks them to explain what's going on. And Peter is unsure about what the protocol is for a situation like this. One thing he knows is that he's going to do something he's never done before. I mean, in his past, he would never even go into the house. The Jewish laws would prohibit it. But things seem to be changing. See, Peter will lift a prayer up, of course, for whatever's going on. See, Peter's had this vision, the one that says, not to think what was unclean is unclean anymore. That God created all people, so Peter should not think of Gentiles as unclean. I mean, it doesn't matter how miraculous Peter's vision would have been He's still nervous about it. I mean, I would. All his life he's known he shouldn't go into this house. And we can imagine Peter going in, speaking to them, pleasantries, nervous, wondering what do I do? Maybe taking his drink and looking at it and wondering. Because it went through against everything he's ever known. So not sure what else to do, he relies on what he's been trained to do. He preaches. And he starts to teach about Jesus to all the folks who are gathered there. And that's where our reading picks up today. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit comes to everyone who is listening. The Jews who had come with Peter couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on these outsiders, these non-Jews. But there it was. They heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. I wonder why Peter was so surprised. I mean, as we'll remember in a couple of weeks, he preached that sermon on Pentecost where he spoke about the scriptures and the Spirit of God was poured out on all flesh gathered there, including the Gentiles. Even so, Peter and his friends were massively surprised by what just happened. See, God had to do something so remarkable that Cornelius and his friends could receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter and his friends could have their eyes open to what was possible, what God was doing in the world. Peter himself had to be converted for this to take place. His assumptions, his understandings of God, they all had to be undone. His idea that this here was a Roman soldier, a Gentile so far outside of what Peter thought was God's plan, that there was no way, Peter thought, that the Spirit of God would fill him. But the Holy Spirit did. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who would hear the word. The Jewish believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out, even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Astounded. Even on the Gentiles. Those are the two phrases that had neon flashing lights for me all week long. Gentiles coming to faith in God and Christ, and the Jewish Jesus followers are astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit is even given to them. In other words, those who came with Peter, they had no clue what was going on. They have no idea what God is capable of, what God is doing, or who God can reach. Instead of being open to the infinite possibilities of God, they were closed-minded, thinking that the only way to God is the way that it looked like it always has been. As if God can't be reached by other routes. As if their understanding of God is the only way, the only possible way. I wonder, are there days when we're like Peter and his friends? If you're anything like me, then there are days when there are some people that you believe that the Holy Spirit could never fill. There are some people who you think could never begin to sow such a dramatic and visible change like Cornelius and his friends. Whether it be speaking in tongues, someone going from being angry all the time to finding peace, from struggling with addiction to finding freedom, from feeling guilty to finding forgiveness. It could be someone who's only known grief being filled with joy. It could be someone who is hurt, handing that over properly to God. And maybe the person you most feel like the Holy Spirit would never fill up is yourself. Peter eating and drinking with a centurion? Never. A Gentile anointed with the same Spirit of God that anointed the great prophets? Never. As Peter says in verse 34, we really are learning that God shows no partiality when it comes to whom God loves and includes in God's kingdom. Can you hear that? Can you hear what an upsetting, exciting, world-reversing word this must have been to those who heard it? That those who had suffered despite of and because of this partiality, yet they still believed. It was not easy for them to hear for sure. But throughout Acts, step by step, laying on scriptural proof after scriptural proof, gradually edging out from Jerusalem to Samaria, Joppa. Luke, the author of Acts, is showing us exactly how wide God's welcome is. God shows no partiality. God loves everyone. Friends, I think we need to summon this ability to see the world, the church, and our lives from God's perspective. We need to pray for that, and then we need to work to make it happen. But if we're unable to do that, and I do admit that is a very large task, then I think we at least need to recapture that ability to be astounded when God begins to do something new in our midst and breathes life into these dry bones we're always rattling. Will you give it a try?